John chapter 17, verse 1 to 11. After saying all these things, Jesus looked up to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so he can give glory back to you. For you have given him authority over everyone. He gives eternal life to each one that you have given him. And this is the way to have eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one you sent to earth. I brought glory to you here on earth by completing the work that you gave me to do. Now, Father, bring me into the glory that we shared before the world began. I have revealed to you the ones you gave me from this world. They were always yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything I have is a gift from you, for I have passed on to them the message that you gave to me. They accepted it, and they know that I come from you, and they believe that you sent me. My prayer is not for the world, but it is for those you have given me, because they belong to you. All who are mine belong to you, and you have given them to me, so they bring me glory. Now I am departing from the world. They are staying in the world, but I am coming to you. Holy Father, you have given me your name. Now protect them by the power of your name, so that they will be united just as you and I are."
So as I mentioned, Ken Wilson will be bringing the message today, and so I will mute my microphone and make Ken's live.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for inviting me, John, and it's a pleasure to be with all of you today as we share God's Word. We've heard the Gospel read, and let's turn our hearts in prayer as we begin. Heavenly Father, sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. Lord, these are your words. Lord, we see here your prayer, which you prayed for us and for all those who believe in you. We pray today, Lord, that you will lead and guide our time, that we may grow into a deeper walk with you. Thank you, Lord, that you are with us here now. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this is a little different for me. I'm in my armchair at home. I don't think I've ever preached from my armchair at home before. So, we talk about the comfortable pew. Well, I guess there's also the comfortable pulpit as well. And here we are together. We're separated by some of us by miles and by distance, but yet we can do it, thankfully, by way of the internet. Today, one of the things I was thinking about is that we should take this passage in John 17 a little bit in context. So I'm going to go back a little bit and read from chapter 16, because it lays the setting. Jesus here in the first words of John 17 says, "After these things." Well, what things are those? You know, when I was in seminary, back in those days, there was a saying that was around in those days, is that a text without a context is a pretext, and it's a pretext to preach on whatever you want. So if we don't know the context of what we're looking at, well, then it's hard to know what is actually happening. So I'm going to go back to John 16, verse 25, and I'm going to be reading from the English Standard Version. That's what I'll be using today. I have said these things, here in verse 25, Jesus says, "I have said these things to you in figures of speech. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech, will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day, you will ask in my name, and I will not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf. For the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from the Father. I came from the Father and have come into the world, and now I am leaving the world and going to the Father." His disciple said, "Ah, now you are speaking plainly and not using figurative speech. Now we know that you know all things and do not need anyone to question you. This is why we believe that you came from God." Jesus answered them, "Do you now believe?" It's almost as if here in the context, he's just saying, you know, we've been together 3 years and finally you now believe? Okay. You know, some of us, it takes a little longer than others to understand the good news of the gospel. And apparently even the disciples had 3 years to struggle with all of this. He goes on in verse 32, "Behold, the hour is coming. Indeed, it has come when you will be scattered, each to his own home, and will leave me alone. Yet I will not be alone, for the Father is with me." And I like to stop there just for a second. You know, each of us are scattered in our own homes right now, and yet we're not alone. The Father is always with us. God is always with us. He's always there at our side, helping us through whatever struggles that we have. Verse 33 says, "I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Right now we're going through a period of tribulation. And verse 33 is a promise, actually. In this world you will have tribulation. Normally we think of tribulation as promises as something that are good things. But here is a promise that Jesus gives that is that we're going to go through hard times. Being a Christian doesn't mean that everything is a bed of roses and that it's all going to be full of red or yellow roses everywhere and everything's going to be fine and beautiful and all that goes on. Those roses will have thorns. We are going to have tribulation. We're going to have struggles in what we do. But Jesus says, "Take heart, I have overcome the world." So now as he's talked to the disciples, he's saying that there's going to be trouble that you're going to go through. I'm going to go through struggles, but I am not alone. So now he turns his attention to the Father. And this is known as the Jesus high priestly prayer, because this is the longest prayer, first of all, that Jesus, we have of Jesus anywhere in the Gospels. It's his longest single prayer. So we get to hear, in a way, we get to overhear how Jesus prays to the Father. And isn't that special to know how Jesus prayed? That he prayed in a way that was intimate and he could pour out his heart before God. And that's exactly the way that you and I can pray before God. We can pour out our heart to God and God will hear us. Here he says to the Father, he lifts up his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you." Now, if we think about what those words are actually saying, Jesus here is declaring in one way that he is God, because he's asking that he may be glorified the same way that the Father is glorified. In the Old Testament, God has said that he will not share his glory with anyone else. But now Jesus is asking that, "Lord, share your glory once again, which I had with you since the beginning of the world." If Jesus were not God, he would be blaspheming God, and he would not be the sinless, righteous Son of God. But here he is declaring that he had a glory with the Father before the foundation of the world, and that now that glory should be restored to him at this time. So Jesus here is declaring, "Yes, I am God. I am the one whom you have believed in." And so these disciples do believe in Jesus as God himself. "Since you have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Eternal life is something that is given to us here, as it talks about. It's given to us by Jesus. We cannot earn eternal life. We cannot deserve eternal life by what we do. but it is a gift of God. It's a gift that it's given to us by the Son. He has the right to give eternal life to each and every one of us. And what is eternal life? Well, here Jesus defines what is eternal life. Eternal life is that we may know the Father and that we may know Jesus. Around 5 or 6. Okay, so I was mentioning at that time, what is eternal life? What is it all about? And when I was hopefully this won't happen again, that we don't have another problem here. When I was in Southern California, I was in Boy Scouts. I was involved hiking all over the place. I saw the beauty of God's creation. And I realized that I knew about God at that time. And later I understood that I really didn't know God. There's a difference between knowing about someone and knowing someone. I know about Justin Trudeau, for instance. I know that he's prime minister. I know a little bit about his family, a little bit of his background. But I don't know him. I've never met him, never seen him, never interacted with him. But I do know my children. I do know my spouse. I do know those kinds of people. Where I don't know somebody that is distant from me. And this is the kind of knowing which is the eternal life, is that when we get to heaven, we're going to know God fully. We're going to know him and be known by him. And it's going to be a grand time of reunion. We know him now, but we'll know him even better when we get to heaven. So moving through this passage, we see that Jesus wants to be glorified in verse 5. He glorified me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world existed. And he's manifested his name to the people that have been given out of the world. That's to us as believers. Jesus has given us the words that the Father has given to us, and that's in verse 8. I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them and have come to know the truth that I came from you. That's one of the distinctiveness of being a Christian, is that we receive the words of Jesus gladly in our hearts, because we know that what Jesus says to us is from the one who is the way, the truth, and the life, and that we can trust him and rely upon him. Verse 9 here, we hear, I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me. So he is praying for us. You know, this is Jesus' high priestly prayer. And today we read in the book of Hebrews as well that Jesus ever lives to intercede for us. He ever lives to pray and to intercede on our behalf. You are never away from the prayers of Jesus. Jesus always lives to help you in your needs and in what you are going through. And he says in verse 10, all mine are yours and yours are mine. That is, we are the Father's, we are Jesus, and all that Jesus has is the Father's, and all that the Father has is belongs to Jesus. And he says, and I am glorified in them. This is what God wants to do through each of our lives, is to glorify himself through each of us. God wants to live his life in us and through us. We may have differing abilities. We may be of different age groups. We may have different spiritual gifts. But no matter what, God wants to be glorified through us. He wants that others may know about Jesus because of us. And he says, I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. So he's now talking about the fact that he's going to die on the cross, rise again, and be ascended and go to heaven. And then he uses a very unique phrase here, Holy Father. This term, Holy Father, is not used anywhere else in the Bible. It's only here that Jesus prays. In a unique way, this combining of two kind of opposite ideas. God is absolutely holy. He's totally different than us. We know very little about holiness, actually, because we're actually sinners. And because we're sinners, we we think we know something about holiness, but God is so totally different from us in that he is pure, 100% pure in all things, that he is holy. But at the same time, he's our Father. He's like, this word Father is the same word Abba, the word that is used in other places, sort of like Daddy or Papa, where it's an intimate term. So this one who is totally different from us is also the one who is right with us at all times, the one that cares about us and loves us. And he says, keep them in your name, being holy and being in an intimate relationship with him, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. And one of the purposes Jesus' prayer here is to emphasize the unity that we should have with one another in the church. You know, when I started out in Christianity, I started in a Lutheran church, a liberal Lutheran church. Then I went and attended for quite a while an evangelical free church for many years. And then I went to a seminary at an evangelical free church seminary, became a Lutheran pastor, and was in a liberal Lutheran denomination for a while, then became into a conservative Lutheran denomination, and then I became a Baptist. So I'm all over the map, but you know, one of the things that I have learned over the years is that no matter what our label is, whether we're a Baptist, a Lutheran, or whatever the label may be, we're Christians first, and that we need to be united together, that we may be one, just as the Father and the Son are together, united together, that we may be one together with them and working together with a common purpose and a common goal, that Jesus Christ might be glorified through each one of us. So today, as we think about this passage, Jesus leaves us with some very important thoughts here. First of all, Jesus is God. He has a glory which he has always had from the beginning of all creation. And because Jesus is God, we can glorify him today in our life and through us. Secondly, eternal life is knowing Jesus. It's knowing the Father, knowing Jesus, and getting to know them more and more intimately every day. One way that we do that is through prayer. Another way is by reading his word. Those are ways that we can get to know him more intimately. And finally, we can pray to the Father, and we can know that the Father can hear us because Jesus hears us. He loves us. He cares for us. No matter how far apart or distant we are, Jesus is with us, and he loves us and cares for us in all of our needs. So today, as we take away from this is that, you know, Jesus cares about us deeply. He's praying for us right now. The Father loves us. He will answer us because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. And so we should rejoice in the great salvation that we do have in Christ Jesus. Let's conclude with prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this word from you. In this passage, thank you, Lord, that in spite of the technical difficulties, you have been speaking. Lord, we ask that you will speak this to our hearts. Help us to live for you, Lord Jesus. You are here with us. You are to be glorified in all things, and may we glorify you with our lives. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.